Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Papito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37 make that 38 plus years now. I am the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. Of course, I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion, meaning I can fight a little bit, or I used to be able to fight a little bit, and I'm an award-winning writer. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing, but I've always found out that the average boxing fan has a direct an insight into the world of boxing that few of us have. So if you want to join us on the toll-free, I'm inviting you. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, you can also get involved on the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Well, we'll bring in the HBO Godfather, retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant will be joining us. Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, will be here in about 35 or 40 minutes. We'll hear from Oscar Valdez, of course, the WBC 130-pound champion man that burst on the scene with that knockout of Miguel Burchelt like a month ago. Bottom line is, we'll hear from him. And we'll go to the UK and bring in my man, Kenny Rainford. That's right, Sir Kenneth. We'll hear what's happening on the UK boxing scene with Sir Kenny. Open phone line once again, all around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV, of course, coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Often imitated, but never duplicated. This is Ring Talk.
He is Mexican. He's proud to be Mexican.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
A Mexican kid, probably.
Who is Aaron talking about? Emmanuel Navarrete Martinez, of course, the WBO 126-pound champion, having held their title at 122 pounds. The kid's just too big. He's too tall. He's too rangy. He boxes too well. Bottom line is, Chris Diaz came to fight, came in at 26-2. Got knocked down. They should have called this like the elevator fight. Otis elevators. Up and down, up and down. Mr. Diaz went down several times. Bottom line is, they ended in the 12th round. TKO in 12. Diaz drops to 26-3, 16 whacks. Navarrete, who Bob Arum calls the best fighter in Mexico because he's not promoting Canelo, 34-1 with 29 KOs, TKO 12. Now, we go from ESPN Boxing last night to L.A., the City of Angels. They're bringing the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. And how are you and the Godmama this morning, sir?
Oh, we have some blue sky, a little chilly for this time of year, but we're doing all right. We're getting prepared to move and downsize and all that good stuff. And when you're locked up, things can go on.
Are you going to have a flea market type of thing in the garage, the driveway, or something, or what?
They call it an estate sales down here. we got thousands of square feet of stuff that has to be stuffed into an apartment. And so there's a lot of stuff we'll sell or give away or donate or whatever.
Stuff. And the stuff is like, it's so wide. I mean, your stuff cannot be, it's got stuff. Stuff is a word that's so wide. All the memorabilia and stuff like that, are you going through any of that stuff? Like, would you want to keep what you want? I mean, is this going to be hard? Like,
yeah, it's a tough one because I've got a lot of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a limited amount of space. But I have a lot of books, and I've got to decide what books can come along with me. I've got five action figures, if you know what those are,
yeah,
from the Rocky Balboa movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out, well, who can I distribute them to in my narrow phase of life.
Hmm. Well, that's going to be one hell of an estate sale, no doubt about it. So is the godmama going to auction off any of the stuff that she has from her Hollywood days or what?
I don't know. I think we're avoiding the subject because it's too tough.
Oh, it would be because, when I move, I try to, like, get rid of stuff, okay? And, I move every 10, 15 years, something like that. But I moved a couple times in the last 5 years. And I tried to, like, downsize and throw this away and throw that away. And I end up bringing junk that I never used or I never looked at. And don't ask me why. I'm not a hoarder, but I have it's weird. I can't let go of.
It piles up.
It piles up. Anyway, did you get a chance to see Mr. Navarrete in action last night on ESPN?
I'm sorry. We didn't. It was a movie night for us last night.
And what'd you watch?
Let me think. What was the name? Oh, it was A Rainy Day in Manhattan.
Okay. All right.
A Woody Allen movie.
Hey, speaking of Woody Allen, he got a lot of heat. In fact, they're like coming up with specials on him and this and that. And I sort of looked at the whole, I'm a nosy guy. I'm really nosy when it comes to like celebrities and this and that. And I'll look into stuff and dig deep, being the investigative reporter that I used to be. And he married like his stepdaughter or a stepdaughter that had nothing to do with him as far as like blood was concerned. And they've been together for like 35 years or something like that. Now, why can't they just let him live?
Well, because we live in a time when if you said spit 25 years ago, they want to hang you from the tallest tree.
Thank
it's
God.
It's a way of coping with the change that's happening in the social ramble.
Okay.
And but he was accused of doing some bad stuff to, I don't know, his kids, he's denied it. Courts have come down in his favor and
yep,
in her favor, and I don't know the whole, to use a German word, Geschichte.
But you would think, it's like 30 years. It's been 30 years, I think. It's been about 25 or 30 years. You think she would let go. I watched her on TV, Mia Farrow, and she was like vindictive and vengeful and almost vicious.
It's
personal.
That reveals who she is, and maybe it's the only way she can cope with what she feels happened to her.
I'll ask you a couple questions here. When you were at HBO, there were some controversial times, like when you thought the mariachi band with Oscar and they in Texas, I think you made a crack about that. And then you made a couple other cracks, and then Mr. Mayweather and you got into a little bit of a tiff where it got to the point where the paparazzis were following you and the godmama all around L.A. What were those kind of, was there undue pressure and stress attached to that, or was it just part of the game?
Well, I had never experienced those things, but I'm fortunately pretty oblivious. And I just shrug it off and laugh it off when, after the Mayweather incident, I heard that I was being called a racist on the in part of the internet. I just said, okay, I don't have to look at that. Who are those people? Do they know what I've done in the past regarding race in sports particularly? So being oblivious as I am has its downsides, but in terms of the blowback of the public, it works.
Well, I don't know. I thought the Mayweather thing was a little cute. I think you told him if I was 30 years younger, this and that. I mean, that's sort of like that roiled the internet. And what's funny is that Mayweather has a group of fans, Godfather, and they're unlike any other group of fans. They're almost like a distinct different, they're like a different sect. I don't know how to say it. Among boxing fans, they're like a different sect. They have a vision of the world that's 50-0, and that's all there is to it. I mean, you and I know that he wasn't the most exciting fighter of all time, and when it came to putting together exciting fights and putting people and taking care of business, he elected to get point wins when he could have stepped it up. Like Ray Leonard said, how do you become great? You gamble. Floyd Mayweather never gambled.
Two thoughts. One is that he was very exciting until the first bell rang. And the second thing was that he shrewdly built an image, and those people found him, and vice versa, and allowed him to make the biggest purses in the history of boxing. So from a business point of view, it worked.
Yeah, from a business point of view, it worked, no doubt about that. And he talks about, you know, wanting to preserve himself because his uncle, Roger Mayweather, did die as a result of the residual effects of combat sports. So I can feel his painness in that. But I mean, outside of knocking out Ricky Hatton, I can't think of anything on his resume that really makes me want to go back. I mean, I never wanted to see another Mayweather fight. In other words, ooh, did you see that Mayweather fight? Let's go see him again. And I was never compelled to do that like I was with Durant or Leonard or Hagler or Hearns or Pryor or anybody like that.
Well, in his own way, he built an image through television. He talked a great game. He talked an exciting game, of course, and then he fought a dull game. But he did beat a lot of top fighters, almost all of whom were in the late or last stages of their careers. He created a fan base of suckers who were born every day, if not every minute.
Speaking of suckers who were born every minute, those guys on YouTube boxing, and they did like 2 million pay-per-view buys last week. This Jake Paul guy, I was like blown away by that. But imagine that, Godfather, a fraudulent card put together by a bunch of scammers. I mean, and they were. I mean, guys not fighting real guys and guys fighting wrestlers and that kind of good stuff, and they do 2 million buys?
Well, all I can say is apparently in today's world, and this has been magnified by the pandemic, that's showbiz.
Or there are still suckers being born?
Well, with everybody locked indoors for such a long time, I imagine so.
Okay. You in the mood to stick around a little while, or are you and the Godmama going places today?
We're just doing our reading and probably watch the Oscars tonight.
We'll give her a big kiss, Maureen, a hug, and we'll talk soon, sir.
Are we still on?
Let's stick around, then. I'll see you after the break. The retired HBO Godfathers will stay in the house. We're talking about Larry Merchant. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 23 minutes past the hour.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. When I hold you in my arms,
I know that I can't do no wrong. I'm going to tell you something. When Henry Armstrong and Sugar Ray Robinson, back in their days, they didn't fight the top guy every time. And that was a time when money was scarce. And they had to fight a lot to live a lot. I am very excited about Canelo's plan to fight 3 or 4 times next year. If that's every 3 months, that's a big deal. maybe it will inspire other top fighters to fight more. But if I know that Canelo is fighting every 3 or 4 months and I have something to look forward to, I think that's a really good thing for boxing. You know, there are guys out there he should fight, like Charlo, and like maybe they're demanding too much money. Maybe the promoters want stuff that they're not going to get. I don't know. But I'm glad that Canelo is going to be out there and wants to be great. And maybe he's answering the cries of his people to fight more. But I think it would be a great thing for the comeback of boxing after the pandemic that he has fought 3 or 4 times in a year.
Well, he's already fought once this year, early in January. Of course, he comes back May the 8th against Billy Joe Saunders, the unbeaten WBO title holder, the Gypsy from the UK. Of course, he's got a date in September during Mexican Independence Day that weekend. And, of course, he'll come back allegedly, supposedly, scheduled in a fight for late November, early December. Check it out. He is moving. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez. Godfather,
hey, Pedro, I have a question for you.
Go ahead, sir.
What's up with Ryan Garcia?
He's got some emotional, he's depressed. He's got some emotional issues, and he's got some chemical imbalances, you know. And I listen, I would have a hard time pitching this to you, okay? But when you get sad, if you're sad for longer than a week, technically and medically, you're depressed. And I've been sad for a long time over deaths and things like that, and says for a prolonged period of time where I felt a bit of depression and things like that. And with some people, it's just overwhelming. And there's a lot of pressure on that kid. He's like 21, 22 years old. He's got the world and, you know, all these Instagram people following him. He's a cult hero in some regards and this and that.
Well, that's something that interests me, Pedro, in the sense that we've seen promising young fighters that were superstars in waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar Ray Leonard when he came out of the Olympics. Oscar De La Hoya when he came out of the Olympics. There are a number of them that didn't pan out, but I'm just wondering if this current phase where a fighter has hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers on social media, the expectations are so great that it runs past the development as a prize fighter. So I'm just wondering whether they pulled out of that fight with Fortuna. Maybe they thought it was a little bit too much right now.
You know, I often agree with you. Probably not this time. I just thought that emotional issues. See, I have a hard time broaching the subject with you because I think you're one of the most mentally tough people I've ever been around. So I have a hard time breaching the subject. But some people aren't as mentally tough as you. They just aren't. They aren't as mentally tough as me. And I'm not all that mentally tough. But some people just don't have the mental toughness. And emotional situations break them down. And evidently, Ryan Garcia is broken down to an extent. And, you know, hopefully he can rekindle himself. And I'll say this. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of drugs out there like Prozac and all that kind of good stuff and Zoloft and all these different antidepressant drugs. But the last thing I want is a prize fighter on one of those antipsychotic, you know, one of those type of drugs. So I'm hopefully he can straighten his life out with out a pharmaceutical intervention.
It's just an unusual situation. I mean, a young prize fighter has the whole world laying out in front of him. Has planned for this moment for years, and when it comes, he's finding a hard time to deal with all the responsibility he may feel to these fans. And is it asking too much of a 21, 22-year-old to have to satisfy such a large fan base? It's an interesting question because he's not going to be the first one that builds a fan base through social media and then has to live up to it.
Good point. You know, I got a question coming in here on a shot me a text. Do you think that Triller, the fact these new squares are involved in boxing and purchasing fights and things like that. Is it good for the game? Because they're spending a lot of money. In fact, Teofimo is going to make almost $4 million, and the deal Aaron was offering him was only going to make $1.3 million.
I don't know about them, or maybe I do, and I'm not aware of their reach. Who are you talking about exactly?
Is this Peter Kahn guy? Somehow we ran into him over the years. I just don't remember him.
So you're saying that there are guys who don't have promotional contracts but are offering multiples of what the normal pay rate would be for certain fighters and trying to break up the relationship of fighters and their promoters so he can take them over?
It looks that way. I mean, you know, these Snoop Doggy Dog people bid like $6 million on the fight. Aaron bid like $2 million on the fight, so they outbid Aaron for the fight, and they won the rights to do that Combrasas Teofimo Lopez fight for that title fight. And of course, and then Aram came out the next day and said, well, if you think so much of the guy, why don't you just buy his contract from me? So obviously Teofimo and Bob aren't on the same page right now.
Well, does Bob get a share of the fighter's purse?
He said it was the easiest $1 million he ever made in his life.
Okay. Well, the old-fashioned way sometimes works, too.
You know, hey, were you there the day in Las Vegas when we had, I forget what fight it was, but maybe it was a Hagler fight, and I think we were at Caesar's Palace, and he lied. He lied one day. Somebody was asking him a question, he lied about it, and he came back the next day and he stood to the same dais, the same podium, and he said, yesterday I was lying, but today I'm telling the truth. Do you remember that one?
Yes. For a long time, Bob was infamous for that, but I don't know if it was Hagler or someone else.
Innocent. That kind of stuff, now that you look at it back in hindsight, is innocent compared to some of the scandalous stuff that's...
I expect promoters to at least stretch the truth.
Well, that's what they do. There's no, I mean,
they're salesmen.
That's their salesman, no doubt about that. Godfather, you have a great week. You and the Godmom, I thank you so much for your time this and that. So you guys are going to chill, and you guys are going to, like, pack things up. You're going to figure out what you're going to keep and what you're not going to keep and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and who we're going to give stuff to.
What is this?
So,
okay.
Stay tuned.
Okay, this is probably the hardest thing you've done in decades.
Yes, you are correct, sir.
I mean, because you're gonna be second guessing yourself the whole time. Oh, it's gonna be terrible. Anyway, kiss the Godmama. We'll talk real soon, and I wish you the best this week, okay, sir.
Have a good week yourself,
man. The greatest, the one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Larry Murch. No doubt about that. Without a doubt, having Larry on the show each and every week is a privilege. It's not something everybody gets to have. I mean, and I just love him dearly. Of course, I was thinking about the first time we met, April 15th, 1985. It was like the 36th year anniversary. It took place about a couple of weeks ago. And like, we're after the Hagler-Hearns fight, and Larry walks up to me and goes, could you believe it? I mean, that's what sort of started this relationship. Could you believe it? And that's what started it. 36 years later, we're still rocking and rolling. We talk a couple of times a week. Of course, the retired HBO Godfather, a Hall of Famer, no doubt about that. Now, after the break, we're bringing the WBC president, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. He is queued up and he's ready to rock on Skype. Yes, this is great news. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. You can shoot us a text here. The text line, the studio text line, of course. It's quiet. You don't have to come on the air. It's indiscreet. Anyway, bottom line is it's private. Send me a text. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
I hope that you understand that not one single person, not one single committee can do anything for us. It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other. Somebody dug me, said,
now see what you were doing, brother, still ahead of me. You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Right here on Sports Byline.
Checking out the soul side of town. Of course, new stuff from the mighty Tower of Power. Check them out, the boys from Oakland, California. The Godfathers of Soul, no doubt about that. TowerofPower.com. Wow, over the weekend, WBC 108-pound title fight took place in Osaka, Japan. Kenshiro Terahi, 18-0 now with 10 whacks, a unanimous decision winner over Tetsuya Hasada, who came in at 34-11 with 2 draws and 20 KOs. That was in Osaka, Japan. Now, I bring that up because the WBC president is on the line, Mr. Mauricio Suleiman. Mauricio, the WBC scoring was used in this this fight. In other words, it was sort of announced to the crowd or something. What does that mean?
Well, we have established a concept which has been very well accepted all over the world. It has been used in very few states in the United States, and England does not accept this rule. Basically, the announcement of the official scores after the fourth and after the eighth round, and that basically the main interest for this rule is to provide the corners the possibility of knowing exactly what the judges are scoring, and they can adjust the strategy, they can change, and they can move on, and not be surprised at the end of the fight when you thought you were doing enough and you did not get a chance to adjust. For the public in Japan, it's announced to the whole crowd in the bigger screens, so it creates great expectation, it creates clarity, transparency, much needed in our sport. And it has been very well taken all over the world.
Okay, why is the why are the United States reluctant to make any changes? Why is that?
Well, each boxing commission has the capacity of taking a rule. They like to abide only by what they call the ABC rules. We have done it in Texas. In Texas, they only allow us to give the scores to the corners, not make it public.
Okay.
I don't know why they don't accept it. You know, resistance to change. It took us a long, long time to get the instant replay approved in some states. There are states that still today do not allow instant replay. So this is a very complicated topic. We go against the wind, and it is just simply a matter of the boxing commission to accept and try it out.
You know, there was, speaking of resistance to change, of course, the move to 12 rounds. You know, some of the old champions I talked to, and I have over the years, Kid Gavilan, Napoles, people like that, you know, had they went 12 rounds instead of 15 rounds, they would have had a lot of miles left on them when their boxing career was over with. In other words, as far as living a good life, you know, Gavilan, he had his problems, and your father supported him. He gave him basically a WBC pension. I mean, he supported him. But the bottom line is, 15 rounds, you know, now that I look back at it, Mauricio, the 14, 15 rounds, we were waiting for an accident to happen.
Yes, yes, that was the key element for the change, to protect the lives right there in the ring and to protect the lives of the fighters, the quality of life after the ring years. And it's proven that it saved many lives, and the fighters today live a much different than the ones who did go 15 rounds and fight constantly, and there were no medicals. But as I was coming back to the resistance of change, it's very frustrating. We always complain when there's a bad decision, but this is one element that could immediately be used. Have the open scoring, have the judges accountable for what they're doing, and it brings a lot of excitement. You know, the initial concerns were, well, there can be riots in the arena. Well, the corner may manipulate a cut. Well, if a fight is too wide, the fighter will start to run and will not be interesting. All this, we have had 12 years all over the world without a single incident. So it would be time for someone to try it out in the States and the UK.
Mauricio Suleiman is our guest, the president of the World Boxing Council, of course. We were talking a little bit earlier, Larry Merchant and I, about a press release this week from Ryan Garcia saying he was having some emotional issues and he won't be able to fight Javier Fortuna as he was supposed to, I think, in July. You want to comment on that?
Absolutely. This is a brave statement and an exemplary one. We fully support Brian Garcia and his decision. There is nothing more important than his health, physical and mental. And it is a confirmation that this pandemic has brought tremendous stress in all of us, whether you are a doctor, a pilot, a policeman, or a boxer. It has no distinction. Anxiety, depression, concern, mental health is something that everyone has to address and to make sure that you find help whenever needed, because it has gotten to all of us. No matter who you are, you have been sad for a while, you have been depressed, you have been anxious. What is going to happen? What is going to be next week, next month, next year? So I applaud Ryan Garcia. We will support him 100%. I have reached out to him and his management, and we have several options of aid that has been working good throughout this time. So we will always be in his corner.
You know, Mauricio, I really haven't talked about this on air before, but in 1995, I was going through a custody battle in which I spent my last $120,000-something of my savings. Anyway, bottom line is I lost the custody battle, and I lost 40 pounds. And people were saying to me, your father said to me, you look real skinny, and I wasn't thinking nothing about it, you know, because you're depressed. You don't think about this kind of stuff. So anyway, finally, when I hit 126 pounds, I went to the doctor, and he says to me, you know what, man? You're depressed. We need to put you together. We need to put you back together. Within 3 or 4 months, I was back being 100%. But there for a while, and I never admitted this before, I was in trouble.
Yes, yes. And I guess we all have been once, at least once, in that scenario when you doubt yourself, when you have issues that you don't understand what is happening. Sometimes they're internal. Sometimes are caused by external effects. But many times there are chemical issues in your body, the lack of chemicals that make an imbalance in your brain and your mind. So you need to get help. You need to go out. It can be resolved maybe by exercise or by a relationship, or by getting a hobby, music, drawing, learning a language. But just go to the experts and reach out and look for the help that it is needed. There are things that we cannot resolve on our own.
Okay. There have been a lot of cartoons on pay-per-view call themselves boxing. Jake Paul was on with Ben Askren about a week ago. Of course, the wrestler versus the wannabe boxer, the YouTube guy. You know, I looked at the crowd, and I've sort of surveyed the crowd. They're not a boxing crowd. This is not a boxing crowd. This is like a different group.
Yes, yes, it's a different concept. It has some benefits. It has some concerns.
Major concerns.
Yeah, the good thing is millions of eyeballs are looking into boxing. And if they put boxing matches on those shows, it's good because new fans can come. But the concerns about the safety and the health of those competing is huge. There was just an accident in Poland. There were the AIBA international qualifiers. One of the kids was knocked out in the third round, very bad officiating. And that's when you go back and go back to basics and understanding that this is not a game. Boxing is not a game. You cannot play boxing. When you get in the ring, there are major concerns, major risks of injury. So this style of boxing for influencers, for stars, movie stars, athletes of other sports, there has to be extreme watched by the boxing commission that officiates these events.
Okay,
but it's a major concern, of course.
Question from one of the viewers: You created the Bridgeway division, 224 pounds. What if we had a heavyweight that came into boxing that was 350 or 375 pounds, and he was just too big and too unbeatable? Would you put a cap on the heavyweight division ever, as far as the weight was concerned?
I don't think there can be a cap of weight or height. these decisions about the Bridgerweight and the Cruiserweight before that were to recognize how humanity has become bigger and stronger. But to go up to a weight cap, it would be a complicated situation. We had Valuyev, a giant, but he was champion for a while, but he was not. He could not win the WBC championship.
No,
he was not of the highest level. There can be, of course, in like anything, there's exceptions, but I don't see having a cap over the weight.
But you can see what I'm saying. I mean, because here I watched the USC mismatch a couple of weeks ago where one guy was outweighing another guy by 40 pounds and he all but destroyed him. And I just don't think that giving up 35 or 40 pounds in any combat sports competition is good. And yet guys do that in heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, because there's boxing requires huge ability, and size, of course, matters. But there are mostly when you have such an advantage, it is virtually very difficult to beat those fighters. When you have a Tyson Fury in the 260s, 270s, Joshua 250s. Mm-hmm. To fight against the 205, 210, it's a way too much advantage, but it would be endless if we keep doing more divisions for that gap.
Okay.
So we cut it at 224 and up, and we will see how it goes.
Okay, good enough. Let's talk about the commemorative belts that come out in May and September, why they come out, and, of course, Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders in just a short amount of time for the 168-pound title.
These are belts that are a trophy. This is not a championship. It's just a commemoration of an event. May 5th and September 16th have been two dates. There are national holidays in Mexico, but the last 40 years have hosted the biggest fights in boxing. May 5th, September 16th, Chavez, De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather, Eric Morales, Marquez, Pacquiao, then Mayweather, and then Canelo. So this is just a gift that Mexico and boxing gives to the world. It doesn't matter who fights. If it could be a non-title fight, it could be any nationality. Whoever fights, the WBC presents this award. It's a trophy. There are no sanction fees. There's nothing related. It's just a gift to give that fight a commemoration and that fighter who wins a special trophy. So we presented the Mestizo belt, which is going to be for May 8th. It's beautiful. It's from the Mexican traditional charros, which is the national sport in Mexico. And it's just something very, very beautiful.
Well, Godson, you have a great weekend. Thank you so much for your time. And what can I say? I thank you for your support. WBCboxing.com, that is the website, of course, and WBCboxing.com. It's got all kinds of stuff up there. WBC Nutrition Committee, what are the benefits of a low-carb diet as opposed to a no-carb diet? Check that out, WBCboxing.com. Mauricio, have a good weekend. Kiss mama for me.
Thank you, Pedro. Have a great Sunday. All the best.
The WBC President, Mauricio Sulaiman, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Down to the nightclub, a little more Tower of Power. Check it, 1972, Rick Stevens and Emilio Castillo on lead vocals. No doubt about that. Rick Stevens, one of the great soul singers of all time. May he rest in peace. No doubt about it. I got to announce him in different shows when he got out of prison. Of course, spent 35 years in prison for a couple of three drug-related murders. And then when he got out, you know, it was like same old Rick. Bottom line, except no drugs. I miss him dearly. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. And somebody shot me back another text on that 400-pound heavyweight. I mean, think about that. If you've got a guy that's like 6'9" and 390 pounds and he's killing everybody, shouldn't there be a division just for him? I mean, think about that. Or is the biggest, baddest guy in the world supposed to be the biggest, baddest guy in the world? I mean, Andre the Giant wasn't a real fighter, but if he was, he would have beat every day. He would have murdered all those wrestling guys. I mean, he, like, destroyed them, just toyed with them. So, I don't know. Size matters, yeah, in combat sports and pornography. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check it, WBC Boxing TV, of course, hour number two forthcoming on the Sirius XM radio network, or channel 217, live on iTunes, Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, SportsByline.com, iHeartRadio.com, of course, live video stream at Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. For hour number two, I will bring in you Jorge Masvidal, of course, the UFC fighter that was defeated last night in that title fight against the welterweight champion Kamaru Usman. Usman knocked him out, like, was pretty decisive, no doubt about that. Masvidal has no excuses. And we'll also hear from Queen Rose. Who is she? You'll find out in hour number two of Ring Talk, live worldwide, WBC Boxing TV. We'll also bring in the WBC 130-pound champion. That's right, Mr. Undefeated himself. Yeah, Oscar Valdez will be here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide WBC Boxing TV. That is after the news. Of course, 6 minutes until after the news. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number one of two, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, after the news, we'll come back with hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll talk boxing and, of course, the UFC as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 1,000 things you'd be doing right now. No, 1,000,000 things. And you're tuned to Sports Byline and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned for hour number two.